Hello, my name is Eli Tuckman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Yoma. We are continuing with the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, and we are up to the special Avodah of the Ketores that he does in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he had just put down the shovel of coals on the floor, on the Rovet Harvi, on the fourth row of on the floor, the fourth row of floor stones out from the Heichal. And now, Mishnah Aleph of the fifth parak tells us, Hotziu lo esakaf b'esamachta. They bring out to him, first of all, they bring out a kaf. A kaf is a large spoon ladle kind of thing, made out of gold. And they brought that out from Lishkas HaKelim, where they keep all of the utensils. And also, they bring out the machta. The machta, we know already, is a pan. Usually, we've talked up until now about a pan of coals. This is a pan that has ketores in it. This is brought from Lishkas Beis Avtinas, which is where they make the ketores. And they bring out this large pan full of extra fine ketores, which we discussed earlier, that they go back and grind it some more, so it's extra, extra fine. V'chafan melo chafnav. So now he has to scoop a double handful, right? The his two hands together. That's the double handful. He has to scoop a double handful of the ketores, and he has to put it into the kaf. Hagadol fi gadlo, v'hagatan fi katano. It doesn't really matter whether the Kohen Gadol had big hands or small hands, because the measure of ketores that we need to use is melochafnav, his full handfuls. And so if he was a large Kohen, so he would have large hands. If he was a small Kohen, he would have small hands, but either way, the shiur is the hands of the handfuls of the Kohen Gadol. And so he would put his handfuls, two handfuls of ketores, into this kaf, into this ladle spoon thing. So then, Natal es hamachta b'yemino, he would take the pan of hot coals that was on the floor, pick it up, right? And he carries the pan of coals in his right hand, using, as we mentioned earlier, the extra long handle for leverage. V'esakaf b'smolo, and he takes the kaf of ketores in his left hand. Hayo mahalech b'heichal. And then he would enter the Heichal and walk into the Heichal. Now, at this point, the Kohen Gadol is completely alone, because no one is permitted to be in the Heichal when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And so he walks through the Kodesh, right? Mahalach Meheichal is walking through the Heichal, which is referring here to the Kodesh, walks through the Kodesh. And so he's passing the menorah, he's passing the Shulchan, he's passing the Mizbeach HaZahav. Ad Shemagia Lebein Shtei HaParocho, Samavdilos Ben Kodesh Uben Kodesh HaKadoshim. Until he gets up to the two curtains that divide between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the two sections of the actual core Beis HaMikdash structure. Now, in the first, we actually mentioned back in Masechet Shkolim that there are two parochos, and they are separated from one another by one amah. And the reason for that, historically, is that in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall that was one amah thick between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in the second Beis HaMikdash, there wasn't a wall there. But they weren't sure whether to add that extra amah onto the Kodesh or onto the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they weren't sure. So therefore, they basically blocked off that amah. They put a parochas on either side and left the amah in the middle, empty, which is known as the amatraxin. Now the Mishnah interjects, Rabbi Yossi Omer lo haisa shema leparochas achas bilvad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there was only one parochas. Shene'emar, as it says by the Mishkan, which was then replicated in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, v'hivdila parochas lachem bein ha-kodesh u'bein ha-kodeshim. And the parochas, in singular, will divide for you between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim. That's, of course, talking about the Mishkan. And that is also how it was in the first Beis HaMikdash. It's only that, according to the Tanakhama, that is not how it was in the second Beis HaMikdash. And we've already explained the reason for that. So now, getting back to, you know, the narrative that we've been, you know, kind of the process we've been talking about, and we're following the opinion of the Chachamim in our description. And so he gets up to the two curtains, and now these two curtains, the outer one was clamped on the south, and the inner one was clamped on the north. That is to say, they were curled up a little bit and clamped so that there was so you could enter. Right, you could enter on one side. So, hachitzona is a proof of adarom. The outer curtain was folded back and then clamped open at the southern end. The apnimis in the inner curtain was rolled back and clamped on the north. So, what he would do is basically he would walk right, holding the pan and the kaf, to the south. Enter into the curtain, into the first curtain, right, where the opening is on the south. Mahalech b'neihem, he would walk between them from the south to the north. Ad shemegil atzafon, right, until he gets to the northern end. Higil atzafon, when he gets to the north, hofek panel ledarom. Then he actually takes a step out, right, he exits the inner curtain at the northern wall. And then he turns around and faces back south again. Once he's inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's heading now south back along the inside of the inner curtain. And he would do this until, right, Mehalech L'smola im Parochas, he walks with his left-hand side to the Parochas, because he's walking from south to north, Ad Shehu Magia La'aron. I'm sorry, from north to south. He's walking from north to south, but the curtain is to his east. So it's on his left-hand side, right? Ad shemagia, ad shemagia l'aron, until he reaches up to the aron, the place of the aron, which is, of course, in the middle, smack in the middle of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, as we will discuss in the next Mishnah, in the second Beis HaMikdash, there actually was no aron. And so when we say here, until he gets to the aron, we mean he got to the location where the aron would be. So higia la'aron, he gets to that place. No tel sama, no sinas machta bein shnei abadim. He would place the machta, the pan of coals, on the floor between the two badim of the aron. The aron has these two poles that are used to carry it, and they stick out. They run east west, and they stick out all the way to the parochas. And actually, they poke into the parochas a little bit, and so he goes up into there, and again, in the second Beis HaMikdash we're talking about, he goes up to where the Badim should be. He puts the pan where the Badim should be. At this point, he would very, very carefully turn the kaf with his fingertips in such a way that the kitores would be returned to his cupped hands, right? Because he's got to put his two hands together to receive the kitores, and then he's kind of got to like use his fingers and his thumbs to maneuver the kaf so that it tilts and pours the ketores back into his two cupped hands, into his two, so he has his two handfuls, without spilling any. Reina Chazal say that this is actually the most difficult avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's very, very difficult. Think about that, trying to maneuver a ladle full of ketores so that that you can pour an entire two handfuls into your hands without spilling any. Very complicated. So at any rate, he would do this. And after he did this, because the shear is melochafnaf, so he has to put them from his hands. And so at that point, savar es ha-ketores agabei gecholim, he would then basically pile up the ketores on the coals so that it starts to burn. V'nismale kol ha'bayis kulo ashan, and the whole Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim at least, would fill with the smoke of the Ketores, and that is the avodah of the Ketores. So yatzo ubala b'derech b'deis k'nisaso. So now he backs out. He doesn't turn around and walk out. He backs out because he always keeps his face towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he backs out the way he came in. Reversing instructions. And on his way out, he would stop in the Kodesh, Umispalot tefillah katzara b'bayis hachitzon. And he would say in the Kodesh, he would say a short tefillah. Why a short tefillah? V'lo haya marich b'tefillah. So he would not do a long tefillah, only a short tefillah. Why? Shelo lahavis es Yisrael. So as not to frighten B'nai Yisrael. Why would the B'nai Yisrael be frightened? Because if the Kohen Gadol did the wrong thing with Ketores, then he would die there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And of course, that would also not be good for the Jews, because the Ketores, the Avodas HaKetores, is an important part of our atonement on Yom Kippurim. And so if the Kohen Gadol messes it up, and then he dies, so we have no Avodas HaKetores. That's bad. And of course, we don't want people to die. And so if the Kohen Gadol would take too long to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the people would start to really be nervous and really be afraid. And so he didn't want to delay too much because he wanted people to get worried. And so he would say a short tefillah, and then he would exit the Heichal.